All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? I'm Penn.
Hey, Penn. How you doing this week?
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
Oh, well, speaking of dreams.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
There's no Dune news this week. No,
okay, great.
Yeah. Other than the fact that I thought of a really funny way to say the director's name since I can't pronounce it.
And yeah.
It's going to be Denis Vuzavanzela.
Vuzavanzela.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that was it. But no, surprisingly, no Dune news this week. Not even video game Dune news.
Should we have a podcast anyway?
I guess.
Okay.
Well, getting into some of the news this week, the Invisible Man series is moving forward. Is moving forward with Elizabeth Moss as the lead.
Right.
Do we care?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I think Elizabeth Moss is talented enough and has done her body of work so far is like interesting enough that we're all like, okay, yeah, let's see what you do with this.
Here's what I like about it is that when someone says The Invisible Man to me, being a new movie, and of course there's the classics, but in modern day, all I think of, well, we're going to have 20 to 30 minutes of him just creeping on girls. like that's just going to be. So having a female lead in it could be really interesting.
Yeah.
They have to be a little bit more creative.
I would love to see a more interesting movie, The Invisible Man movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, let's, all bathroom humor aside, which I'm a big fan of that and whatnot. I'm not trying to act like I'm above that. But, you know, all right, yeah, let's see. Do we know who's writing that?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's not. I mean, the Dark Universe is dead, which was, from what I understand.
Okay.
You know, like they started up. It was supposed to be. Was Johnny Depp supposed to be the Invisible Man?
I didn't hear that.
There was like, you know, The Mummy was Tom Cruise, and like there was like a slew of them.
Yeah.
And they scrapped that, so. Anyway.
Speaking of scrapping.
Okay. Move forward.
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they pushed back Sherlock Holmes 3, pushed back a full year. Is that a problem? Should we read something into that, or is it just a scheduling thing?
Let me ask you a more important question.
Okay.
Did you know they were making a Sherlock Holmes 3?
What was that one that we talked about weeks and weeks ago where we were like, oh, we didn't even know there was a first one?
Bill and Ted?
No. Yeah, they were making a third or something. Yeah. We didn't know there was a second. No, I knew they were making a third one.
Okay.
But I did not – I wasn't 100% sure that they needed to. And
right.
He seems like he has a full plate and – I don't know. I loved the first Sherlock Holmes. Second Sherlock Holmes was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And is this just a payday for him? And Mike, I get sometimes nervous when they move it an entire year because that to me is a big move. Like, for example, that gives them time to recast the lead.
Right.
I'm not trying to start any fancy rumors. I'm just saying. I just put that out there.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying. I don't think they've started, like, filming or anything,
right?
Like, it's totally... Right. To me, it feels like it's a long time coming. Almost too long.
Well, they pushed a release date to December of 21, which feels like...
Yeah.
A really long way. That's like Avatar time.
Is this Avatar? The Drew Schaefer method?
I'm not sure that there's ever going to be another Avatar.
Yeah, I kind of am in that boat with you.
And to me, when you start seeing stuff on the calendar that's the same period where Avatar is currently scheduled,
mm-hmm.
then you start to feel like it's fake.
Well, I don't feel like Robert Downey Jr. needs to do this movie. Almost like he's moved past this,
right.
This stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
So you heard it here first. If this whole thing falls to shit and Downey Jr. gets recast, like Idris Elba picks up that role.
Yeah. Well, speaking of
what?
Speaking of Idris Elba picking up a role, Will Smith, no longer in Suicide Squad, rumored to be replaced by Idris Elba.
By none other than
Idris.
Idris Elba, who, by the way, killed it on Saturday Night Live.
I haven't seen.
I know, because you suck.
I know. I need to, apparently, I need to get into this SNL. It's this new thing.
It was. He killed. He was great.
Yeah.
He was really great on it, and I've loved him. We've all loved him for years. I'm not acting like I. But he is fantastic. He did great on that show. So many skits that he was in that he just killed it. So Idris Elba is replacing Will Smith as Deadshot in Suicide Squad 2. I think this is the best DC news that we've had, I don't know, since Wonder Woman, maybe.
Why does he have to be Deadshot? Couldn't he be someone else?
You mean, like, why do we have to get rid of Will Smith?
No. Why do we need that character?
Oh, I gotcha.
Because... So I didn't put it down here in the notes, but apparently they've soft released the rest of the crew.
Okay.
And it's no other repeats. It's like King Shark, Polka Dot Man, and some other people. The Pacifist, who might be played by Dave Bautista, which I'm all on board with.
Yeah.
But it's like a whole new crew.
Parmesan Man.
Obviously, Spaghetti Boy. So, like, why does he have to be Deadshot? Like, why is Deadshot important to the crew?
I don't know.
It's true.
That's the kind of question we would be looking for you to answer.
Okay, well, all I'm saying, if he's involved, I'm excited.
Okay.
It gives me a reason to look forward to this movie.
And it raises a question that I'd like to pose here.
Okay.
Just, are we over Will Smith? And I say that with all due respect because I love Will Smith. I loved Fresh Prince. I loved Men in Black. I loved all his movies. I loved Pursuit of Happiness. The guy is an incredible talent. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to cast any kind of dispersions on him or his talent. My question is, like, are we ever going to get back? Is he ever going to be, like, starring in a movie that we are falling all over ourselves to see? Or is he sort of going the Eddie Murphy route where he's, like, fading off into, like, what a great career, and now just sit tight, counting your money, and in a few years we'll give you a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars. Is that where we're headed?
I'm going to be straight up about this.
Tell me.
I think...
Don't say it. Wait a minute. Are you anti-Will Smith?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
But I think it all hinges on Aladdin.
Ooh.
Because there's no coming back from Blueface.
That's true. That's a really good point. And so far, the early buzz on Aladdin is like all good except for the Will Smith piece.
Yeah. Now, we'll see what it's like in action.
Right.
The trailer, I was kind of like, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of material of you in a funky costume on the internet for people to never forget.
Is he too old to be the genie? I mean, I know Robin Williams did it, and I'd have to look up their ages, but I feel like I'd like to see like a real young person take on the genie.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's okay.
You know who would be great as the genie? You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones.
Oh my God. She would be perfect. Real sassy.
He's real sassy. Yeah. I'm down. I don't think he's too old. I just don't know if he's – I think he would have been great just as a vocal. But visually it kind of is a little weird.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We're going to find out in a few short months.
So speaking of live action adaptations, looks like Brian K. Vaughan is writing the live action Gundam movie. Are you familiar with Gundam at all?
No.
Okay. I am only familiar with I know what it is.
Okay.
I've never watched it. I've never read it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Giant robots in space.
Do we care?
Brian K. Vaughan is awesome.
Okay.
So I'm interested enough to see what he can do. Why the Last Man is one of the best series I've ever read. and they're making a television show out of it, so hopefully that does well.
Are you saying that, is this the guy that wrote Dune Saga?
No, that's okay. Brian Herbert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy wrote a series of graphic novels called Saga. He wrote Why: The Last Man. Okay. Some really good non-superhero graphic novels.
Gotcha.
Only one blockbuster left in the world.
Little known fact.
Yeah.
There were two.
Right?
Yeah.
And one just closed
down,
right?
Carol Danvers dropped out of the sky and blew up the second to last one.
Well, that was the end of that one.
That was it, and now there's only one.
There's only one. And it's in Melbourne, I think. It's in Australia.
Is that right?
Somewhere.
It's so
I'm pretty
weird.
Sure.
Are they going to leave it open? I hope they leave it open. Like a museum.
I've seen photos, and like the windows still have the typical ads like up. I'm like, who's following?
Like, rent five movies for $10 one week.
Yeah, who's going in there? I just don't understand. It must be like in the center of like a senior citizens village or something.
What I love about Blockbuster is all the family fights that occurred around Blockbuster that now kids growing up, like teenagers at home, can't relate to. Like, how many times did you get yelled at because you couldn't find the video that was due yesterday and I'm going to have to pay a late fee?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all this stuff. And, oh, I returned the case, but the disc is still in the machine. Like, nobody remembers that. And then, like, actually rewinding. Are you old enough to VHS?
Yeah. There was one time where I returned, and I believe it was the movie What Women Want. So, I returned it, and I do not know where the disc went, and that wound up costing me like $40.
Wow.
So,
anyway. All right. Well, yeah. Maybe listen. If this podcast ever hits the big time,
yeah,
and we're like sitting around wondering what to do with our stacks and stacks of money. I propose that we take
a trip to Blockbuster,
live
recording.
Yes, a road trip. I bet you the people that manage that Blockbuster get contacted on, is it weekly or monthly? But they get contacted a lot from idiots like us who think that they have like this great creative idea to interview the Blockbuster guy.
No.
And the guy's like, piss off, mate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tyrese Gibson.
Guy. What do you got here?
No, I got nothing.
Tyrese Gibson's joined the cast of Morbius as an FBI agent trying to hunt down the living vampire.
Dun, dun, dun. You got to sell this one to me. Like somebody has to make me interested in this.
In Morbius?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me sell you on Morbius.
Okay.
Don't go see it.
You're in agreement.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really against these Spider-Man villain movies without Spider-Man.
Okay.
Unless you're giving me, like, Black Cat starring...
Will Smith.
Yeah, no. Jyn Erso, whatever her name is. I can't remember because I need to meet her and date her forever.
Okay.
But other than that, like, I'm not down. I didn't like Venom, really. I just don't understand how they can do it without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
These are good villains they could put in these movies and have, like... I guess they're doing it with Mysterio, but have a movie where it's not like world-ending problems for our heroes to tackle.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
But you just don't care anyway, so I don't.
Saying that I don't care. I'm just saying, like, to me, sometimes studios.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way. Sometimes studios act like they put a title out there, and you're supposed to automatically be excited for it. Just because somebody came up with a cool looking poster. Mm. And, you know, to me, this falls in that category of like, you know, somebody has to explain to me, somebody has to make me excited about this movie. I'm starting from square one. I'm blank. I'm like, whatever. Somebody has to crank me up.
Jared Leto's in it.
All right. That's a step in the right direction.
Playing the main guy. I pity everyone working with him.
Do we know when Morbius opens?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. I mean, it's still casting
this year?
Phase.
Oh, no. It's ways out.
Yeah, it's out.
All right. So they got time.
So, Happy Death Day 2, it didn't perform very well. So, Jason Blum stated a sequel is unlikely, but not impossible.
Depends how broke he gets.
Yeah, that's the key. This is another one of those ones that's like, did was the first one ever come out? You know, like, I don't remember.
Oh, the first one definitely. I definitely remember the first one came out, and it did really great. And the thing that people loved about it, at least the people that I talked to that loved about it, nobody said, like, oh, this is the greatest movie ever made, whatever. But it was a different – it was a fresh idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a creative – as far as I'm aware, you know, I wasn't really familiar with that plot before. I mean, I guess it's a variation on the theme of, like, Groundhog Day or whatever, however you want to look at it.
Right.
So definitely that theme has been done, but I'm not aware that that theme had ever been done really as a horror movie. Probably somebody can correct me. But – what people liked about it was, like, it was sort of different.
And now you have, like, Russian Doll and other movies have been using this trope.
Right.
So it's not very special anymore.
But Russian Doll's not a movie.
No, but it's still a similar premise, right?
Right.
Like the restart.
No, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely a similar premise. My point is, they didn't really need a sequel, but there was definitely money to be made. Mm-hmm. And now, like, no, there's not a third one. But definitely, if somebody gets it in their head that they can get $1 million in their pocket. Because you got to remember, if they make $20 million on a movie, I'm sorry, if they spend, let's say they spend $10 million on a movie, if they make $20 million, by the time they pay everybody, the people at the top of that are going to put $1 million in their pocket, which when you consider that up against what studios do with proper movies, that's nothing. But for some guy sitting somewhere in a house, yeah, $1 million is pretty good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Unless, of course, he gets better offers and start making better movies and bigger movies and start making real money elsewhere.
Right.
But if this is the end of the line for him and he doesn't have any really good prospects, then yeah, I'll bet you he'll make a third movie and stick a couple $1 million in his pocket.
Okay. I'd say he waits a little bit and brings her back as in, like, the same actress.
As later. A remake.
Yeah, as a remake.
Oh, God.
So last bit of news on my list here is Maleficent 2 is now officially called Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
Nice.
I like the title. I have no desire to see it.
I love the title. I can't wait to see it.
Really? Was the first good?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Oh, so I don't know. That's why I have no interest.
Oh, come on.
I just don't know.
No, I think it's really great. It's totally different. I love it for the same reason that we love superhero movies. They are sort of crazy, and it's fantasy, and it's otherworldly. But this is obviously nothing like a superhero movie. It's just a, you know, sort of another crazy Disney movie.
Yeah.
I love that it, you know, has a little bit of the dark tone to it, but it's I loved the first one, and I'm excited for the second one.
Speaking of Disney with a dark tone.
Yes.
Avengers.
Yes. I've got news on this.
Let's hear it.
I got big news.
Okay.
I think Avengers is going to be a big movie.
Wow!
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Hot scoop. Prepare yourselves.
Hot scoop.
Okay. Why do you think it's going to be big, Pat? What gives you that idea?
Well, in a minute, we're going to talk about Captain Marvel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last week, we talked about how Avengers, we did a little lesson for our listeners about tracking, right? And how last week, Avengers entered into that tracking frame. And the projections were massive, right? Well, upon the release of Captain Marvel, the tracking is only improving.
Okay.
Right? So sometimes, it's not very often that two movies are so obviously linked together.
Right.
Especially so close to each other, basically like 8 weeks apart or 7 weeks,
depending on how you count. Which is ridiculous, yeah.
Which is ridiculous. But this is the year of Disney, so that's how we're doing it. And don't even – we got time for Dumbo in between. That's it. So I put it on our list of news, obviously, just to be funny, to crack ourselves up. But it is interesting. It is true. And we'll talk about Captain Marvel in a minute. I think Captain Marvel on its own is a great movie. I loved it. We'll talk more in depth about it. But I also think it was a brilliant move because it really – there's a lot of content in Captain Marvel that, in my mind, is essentially origin related to Avengers. There's people who are more knowledgeable than me who already knew some of that stuff, but it was fun to see it on screen and it was fun to learn it. And if anything, a lot of people, including me, came out of Captain Marvel saying, no matter how you felt about it, you came out of it like psyched for Avengers. You know, the stinger, the mid-credits stinger was, you know, an Avengers piece. And so I think that it was tracking huge. Captain Marvel opens, wild success, and it does nothing but build up Avengers even further.
Yeah. So, okay, so two follow-up questions.
Okay.
One, are you now scared about the Ultimate Wager?
I think it's going to be a fair fight.
Okay.
I'll give you that. All right.
And the second question is this, you were supposed to announce this week what the movie was going to be.
Well, I want to follow suit with Disney.
Okay.
And make you wait a little longer. I'm going to tease it out. I'm going to try to get an extra week of listeners.
Yeah, I forgot.
You don't know that. You don't know me.
It's a mystery.
I'm a marketing genius, David.
Okay, so next week we'll find out.
Next week we'll find out. I will say, I didn't forget about it.
Okay.
I've had some good ideas.
You're right.
But I just haven't quite dialed them in.
Okay. All right.
I will say one idea that seems that I keep coming back to is Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
Dressing up as Cousin Eddie.
Okay.
I keep coming back to that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So do you have any news things you want to bring up?
I just have some quickies here. Taika Waititi is writing Time Bandits TV show.
Is he affiliated with Taika Toys?
Isn't this the guy that wrote Thor Ragnarok?
And directed. Yeah.
So he's pretty legit, and if he wants to make a TV show out of Time Bandits, God bless him.
I'm all for this. He has two television shows one's out and one's coming out, called, is it His Dark... What We Do in the Dark or something. They're comedies, and they're supposed to be hilarious. So Time Bandits, totally cool.
I like that because I remember the headline of the article where I read this said, like, children of the 80s rejoice.
I love Time Bandits.
Yeah, absolutely. Time Bandits is one of those things, like, it's owned by children of the 80s, but, like, any good movie or TV show lover has to appreciate Time Bandits. Speaking of... well, this has nothing to do with Time Bandits or TV or Taiki.
Amazing segue.
But let's talk about Late Night for a minute.
Okay.
This movie coming out from Amazon Studios.
Okay.
And we have to do our homework on this, right?
Because
I saw a release date of June 7th, which makes me feel like this is going to get a theatrical release from Amazon.
So, okay, you said you came up to me like, what's up with this movie? And I thought it was a show.
Right.
I didn't even think that it was... It just looked too much content to me for a movie.
Yeah,
it looks good.
I'm on board, as we say, but we need to dig into this a little bit because this is an interesting question, and it's also we're gonna have to watch closely how Amazon releases this.
Okay, so we'll come back to that next.
We'll come back to that next week.
Okay.
42nd Street, the Broadway musical, which you may recall is my favorite Broadway musical, performed perfectly by the local Fulton Theater down there on Prince Street. My friends, Mark Robin, what's up? but they crushed it, but also crushing it is the Royal Theater in London. And they have not only been putting on one of the most extravagant versions of this, being personally overseen by the guy who wrote the show, and 42nd Street is now getting a one-night-only release in May, which Penn Cinema will pick up.
Fathom
Event. Okay. Really excited for that. That's my favorite musical, right up there with Joseph, right up there with Hamilton. And big news that I'm just curious. I'm going to put this out there, and we'll see if any listeners in New York City pick up on this because that's the only people who would care. But I book movies every Monday morning, and I deal with all the major studios, lots of minor studios, independent studios, and the people that I deal with kind of come and go. And some of them are nice. Some of them are not. But they're all interesting. I'll say, well, I can't even say that because some of them are just lame. But a legend in the history of film buying that I've been dealing with for 12 years since I've been booking films for Warner Brothers is a guy named Bruce Blatt.
Okay.
And I love Bruce. Bruce is a character, and a lot of people, like, he's like a legend. He's the kind of guy, when you answer your phone, when he calls you and you answer your phone, he's already yelling at you. Like, you say hello and he's already mid-sentence, you know. So you call him up and Aquaman has been running, like, let's say 16 weeks and you want to split it. And he's like, call me when you sober up. Are you drunk? What's the matter with you? He's got that thick New York accent. He's a retired cop before he got into the movies. Great guy. He's always, like I said, he's always yelling at you, and he doesn't mind. Like, we'll trade back and forth. I'll yell at him. I believe he's hung up on me before. I know I've hung up on him. But a great guy, always does the right thing for Penn Cinema. And in fact, when we opened in November of 06, we opened with Happy Feet. Well, we opened with Casino Royale and Happy Feet. And the girl who sang the theme song to Happy Feet is Gia something or other. And her picture is right over there over your left shoulder. And she came to Lititz at Penn Cinema Lititz and did a little concert in Theater 5. And Bruce was the guy who arranged that for us.
That's
and he's
awesome.
Been looking after Penn Cinema the entire run. And now I'm very pleased to report that he is retiring. A nice severance package from Warner's. He's earned it. We're going to miss him. I'm going to really miss him. Today, Monday, March 11th, was my last day booking movies with Bruce.
Oh.
So I'm really sad. I'm going to miss him a lot. And I wish him nothing but the best for his future retirement plans.
Well, now he has plenty of time to come down and see some movies.
Yeah, right. And then the other thing that's interesting that actually is news is that one of the reasons why he's been looking to retire for a while, but one of the reasons why he's retiring is because Warner Brothers closed their New York City offices.
Really?
Yeah, which leaves pretty much Sony and Disney as the last two standing with a presence in New York City. Everybody's moving to L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really interesting.
And Disney's already in L.A., so...
Well, of course, Disney's in L.A., but the people that I deal with, the film bookers, the buyers, and on their end, they're called sales reps, they have some people in New York.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Yeah. So that's all I got in terms of news.
Well, Penn, what do you say we switch gears a little here and start talking about our favorite topic? And by our, I mean my favorite topic, new trailers.
Do you like trailers more than movies?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
I think I like the hype, the train, the discussion. And then
the
anticipation. Yeah, and then you watch the movie and you're like, okay, cool. And then what's the next trailer? This first one was one you pointed out here.
One that I pointed out?
Yeah, Masters of Dark Shadows.
I put that on the list?
I'm pretty sure.
I did not put it on the list, and I'll tell you why. I can prove that I did not put it on the list.
Well, I'm seeing right here a note that says video on demand.
Yes.
I didn't put this on here.
I didn't put it on there.
Get out of town.
This is really creepy because Master of Dark Shadows, the reluctant vampire by the legendary Dan, or the story about the legendary Dan Curtis. So it's this creepy, horror, spooky ghost movie.
It's a doc. So wait.
And nobody put it on the list, but it showed up on the list.
You really didn't put this
I did not put it on the list.
I have no memory of putting it. Last night, I looked up the trailers and I was like, what's this movie? And I watched it. I was like, okay, I can see how he'd be interested in that.
That's exactly why I put it. That's why I put my note here, because I was going to take issue with this. I was going to give you shit because I'm like, since when do we put trailers for a video on demand documentary that may or may not show up in any movie theaters? That's against everything we stand for.
Solves a lot of, there's a lot of mystery around this one.
It answers a lot of questions.
Yeah. So Masters of Dark Shadows is definitely a non-Penn Cinema Podcast approved trailer.
Right. Although it does look it looks fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it.
So the premise of this is this guy made these TV shows and was getting ready to go off the air. And in order to, like, what, save the show? Or no, he sort of figured, like, what the heck? I got nothing to lose. He puts on a vampire, you know, like a reluctant vampire, and turns into one of the great guys and goes through this incredible filmmaking career where he goes on to try to make more meaningful movies in the end and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So
it sounds interesting.
It sounds fascinating.
If you like film, like it sounds really cool.
Yeah. And that's great. You can watch it at home on your couch.
Right. Don't talk to
yourself
us
about with
it.
No audience.
Yeah. No popcorn.
Nobody
too.
To share it with. No shared experience. No common experience. All by your little self.
And it, don't expect it to get any awards.
Right. What will get awards? Captain Sparklefingers.
Captain Sparklefingers. Shazam.
Shazam with an exclamation point. Just
trailer
so clear.
Two. Look, you were saying about Ichabod Eldra over there.
Idris.
Idris Elba. I couldn't think of his name. Idris Elba over there. Being like the star child to bring back the DC movies. But this Shazam trailer, my word, blown away with how much I'm looking forward to this.
Really?
The first one, I was kind of like, eh, we'll see. It looks funny. I don't know if it'll actually be funny. We'll see. But, oh, man. When he's running on the roof and he jumps off and he's like, Shazam! And he turns into him as he's falling. And there's a little bit of him falling before he starts flying. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board if that's the question. There's no question about it. It's funny you would say that because the screening is tomorrow.
Is it really?
In New York with Warner's. Yeah. I could go see Bruce.
Last chance.
And he would say, I would walk in and he would say something like, nice of you to grace us with your presence.
I got to see you one more time.
Who let you in?
So, okay. So, you know, like Shazam's a new name for this character. Do you know what his real name is?
Captain Sparklefingers.
Captain Marvel.
Shut up.
And that they changed his name because Marvel's Captain Marvel was more popular.
I did not know that.
And that Shazam was the name of the comic of Captain Marvel. And so he says Shazam to transform into Captain Marvel. Yeah. So it's only within the last like 6 years that DC rebranded him. As Shazam.
That's
instead
wild.
Of Captain Marvel. Yeah. It's pretty cool, though. I mean, two Captain Marvels were, you know, quote unquote Captain Marvel movies in 1 month.
Yeah. That leads me to two questions.
Uh huh.
First of all, could you imagine the confusion?
if they were both
named Captain Marvel and then each one had to have like a little side note delineating which one it is. That happens sometimes. Sometimes we get like two movies with very similar titles. I wish I had thought of telling you, but then it leads to my second one, which is we're gonna have to discuss Captain Marvel, but like they don't call her Captain Marvel.
I don't think at all.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay.
Let's hold on to that. Okay, so Midsommar.
Well, real quick on Shazam, the thing that caught my eye on it, I'm with you. I'm excited. I'm on board 100%. The thing that caught my eye in trailer number two is how much of it. You know, movies, studios have to decide how much they want the city or the location of the movie to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're going to really let Philadelphia, be a character in this movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome.
I hadn't even picked up on that. And then yesterday I was just running through some trailers with my mom and bringing her up to date. And she's like, oh, is that Philly? And I was like, just watch the trailer. She's like, oh, no, I gotta know, is that Philly? And like, we had to rewind. She's like, there's the art museum. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
So Penn Cinema Huntington Valley is a suburb of Philly.
And it's,
so we're pretty excited for that one. It's like having a little hometown screening.
You need to get someone dressed up as Captain Marvel there.
Okay.
Yeah, don't look at me. I don't have the body for it. Okay, next trailer is
Did you know that
Midsommar?
when we opened Penn Cinema Wilmington, we had Captain America and Thor both in costume at our groundbreaking, not at the opening.
Okay. Well, I was at the opening. I didn't see them there.
Yep. No, this was at the groundbreaking with shovels and everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good stuff. But you're trying to get to Midsommar.
Midsommar. How do we feel about – this is made by the same guy who made Hereditary, which I hear is quite scary.
Yeah.
Is this your thing?
I do. It's from a studio called A24, and it opens in August. Both of those things tell me that this has the really good potential to be in. I don't want to use such a bland word, but a really interesting movie.
Okay.
Because it's not going to be a dumbed down blockbuster. Otherwise, they would release it in July. And it's not a big enough budget movie. Otherwise, it would be coming from Universal, you know. But A24 makes some good movies. And I've they have a pretty good track record in my book. So I'm on board. I love a good horror movie. And this one looks really interesting. I like when horror movies cross into, like, period pieces. So, yeah, I think this is this has some interesting potential. I think it crosses over a lot with our next one, which is Brightburn.
Yeah.
And I just needed to point out that in Brightburn and Midsommar, there's these weird shapes.
Yeah.
They're dominant in the Brightburn trailer.
Are they the same shapes?
I went back and rewatched both trailers, and I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that they're identical, but they're right there. I mean, they're right there. And it's really interesting to me. So the shapes are dominant throughout the Brightburn trailer. It's like a major...
Yeah, it's a big thing.
A major part of the imagery. And it flashes real quick in the tent in Midsommar. But I'm watching that trailer, and then I'm like, oh, this movie looks really scary. This looks real. I had all whatever thoughts. And then I watched the Brightburn trailer, and I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen that shape before. I go back to the Midsommar, and it's just weird to me. And I'm not saying there's any relationship. You know what I mean? It's just one of those creepy things.
Is this going to be like the movie 23? Next time I come in, your office is just covered in it. Like all over the wall. They're everywhere, David. Everywhere.
It's another – it's like who put the Master of Dark Shadows on our list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, do the filmmakers know that both of these horror movies are exploiting the same shape and image in the film? And is there yet a more powerful dark force at work? Could this be the end, David?
It probably is.
I just want everyone to recognize it. If this is some sort of sign, right? If the apocalypse comes right before the end of the world, I want credit for spotting it.
Oh, those guys on that podcast were right.
So, Brightburn trailer with James Gunn and Elizabeth Banks and that poor bastard who will forever be known as the guy from The Office. Pam's boyfriend.
Pam's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Brightburn looks amazing. I can't wait.
Okay. Well,
too scary? You going to have bad dreams?
Midsommar might be too scary for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So I might take a hard pass on that.
Ooh.
But surprisingly, the trailer didn't have a lot of scary stuff in it. It was alluding to scary.
Oh,
things,
man. Yeah.
Which might be enough to keep me away. Brightburn. My word, I'm going to see this movie, but it is going to be a stretch for me. This because some of the, like, I don't know what it is. Some of the gore in the trailer, the lady gets that glass in her eye, and I'm like, oh,
brutal,
brutal, so gross.
Yeah,
I don't. And his actual like mask is really creepy too. Like it's the sewn up.
I love
like,
the premise.
Yeah. Oh, the premise is great. I think that it's basically Superman. If instead of being like the good golden boy, he was just like, yo, I can just fuck
pissed.
Some people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I if you haven't seen this trailer, go watch it. It looks crazy. I have no idea how it's going to end. Or, I mean, yeah.
So we have a new feature we'd like to introduce this week at the Penn Cinema podcast. We're going to identify the featured trailer of the week.
Oh.
And you just identified Brightburn.
Okay.
I mean, I agree completely. Of all the trailers we're sitting here chatting about, having fun, amusing ourselves, talking about trailers, this is the one trailer on this list this week. This is the one you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go watch.
You got to go watch this trailer. Yeah. Absolutely go watch Brightburn. Trailer two. Trailer one was whatever, but trailer two is amazing.
Tolkien.
I'm on board. Do you like Tolkien?
Sure.
Are you a fan of him as a person or just Lord of the Rings?
Just Lord of the Rings. And the only reason why I say that is because I'm not knowledgeable of him as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know anything about him. You know, I could say, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of his, and it turns out he's some kind of jerk. So,
yeah.
Which I don't think he is, but I'm just saying I don't know anything about him. Which is one of the reasons I'm really excited about this movie. I loved that movie, Saving Mr. Banks, with a little insight into not only Walt Disney, but also, blanking on her name, the lady that wrote Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yeah, whatever.
But they, I love sort of, it's a little bit of a true story, but also, or no, it's entirely a true story, but it's told very much incorporating, tying in some of the fantasy, Lord of the Rings type of stuff.
Where, like, I like how they show, you know, a lot of the inspiration for some of the villains in Lord of the Rings was from the industrialism of World War II.
Yeah.
And in it, you see him viewing the landscape of World War II, but instead of the flamethrower, it's like a dragon.
It's a dragon, right.
And how he's kind of envisioning that. I think that looks really cool. I wouldn't say that I'm like the most knowledgeable person, but I'm fairly knowledgeable, especially since of his interactions with C.S. Lewis and how they were friends. Right.
Isn't it crazy when all you get like these legendary people that are friends with other legendary
right.
people?
Like us?
Like, right, yeah. right, exactly. You got Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. You got Scorsese, Spielberg, and George Lucas. And you got Penn and David.
Yeah, right here. Yeah. I like that they're incorporating, I forget what they called that group, but I don't know if you're familiar with Rabbit and the Dragonfly downtown.
Yeah.
Lancaster.
Yeah.
That's a place themed after the Rabbit and Dragonfly where these guys used to hang out. And I think that's really cool.
That is cool.
So.
I got two trailers I'd like to talk about.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Because here's the thing. You added one of these posts like my leaving work, so I haven't seen
right. it. Right. Yeah. Well, you're missing out.
Okay.
So the two trailers
uh-huh.
that I'm talking about are Master Z, Intellectual Property Man Legacy. Isn't that what the
intellectual
IP, intellectual property man like is that what IP stands for?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This one's obviously some kind of legal thriller, a courtroom drama.
Master Zed, you should have said.
Right. And Triple Threat, and I'm lumping these two trailers together.
Okay.
First of all, I loved both of those trailers.
Okay.
I don't know why. Right. I mean, so I gave this presentation, which I don't want to take up time on the podcast to talk about it. So I'll just say that it went really well.
Awesome.
It went great. We had great turnout. It was really interesting discussions. And I spoke about some very meaningful, thoughtful ideas about movies and about faith, you know, and about some very topics that are near and dear and very personal to me and some of the great things about movies. I'm not sure either one of these movies here, right here. I don't think anything qualifies as, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Except I can't remember a more pure action movie when's the last pure, like good. Don't give me Expendables.
Okay.
I'm talking good,
good,
like thrilling, like edgy seat quality action movie.
I can't even think of it.
Right. Probably yeah. had Jason Statham, which
probably had Jason Statham.
Annoys me because yeah. one time I tried to meet him and he wouldn't look at me because he turned around to see if I was standing with any like women, and I wasn't, so he kept walking. So anyway, Master Z, is it IP or IP?
I think it's IP.
Okay, Master Z, Ip Man Legacy. That looks amazing. What is it, like a Kung Fu Bruce Lee?
Yeah, so this is actually, I think, movie 4. In a series.
Really?
So Ip Man and Ip Man 2 definitely were in theaters.
I don't know. Theater.
I don't know if Ip Man 3 was or not. But they're like, and I, from what I understand from the trailer, because I haven't seen the other three, and now I'm like, well, I have to.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I've heard that if there's three, whatever, the other ones right. are very good, and I just don't know why I've never watched them. But from what I understand from this trailer, as I guess the main guy in this fought Ip Man at some point and got away from Kung Fu.
I wonder if we have any listeners who want to let us know.
Oh, please do. podcast@penncinema.com.
Fill me in. Fill me in.
Yeah, let us know what the plot is of these.
I feel like when I watched this trailer, my reaction was, oh my God, I've been missing something. I'm out of the loop. Yeah. I'm missing something good.
That's exactly. When they did the glass thing, I was like,
come on.
Done. I'm done. And,
good night. Yeah,
this is like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type ridiculous kung fu.
Yeah.
I want to see. So tell me about Triple Threat.
So Triple Threat, pretty much more of the same.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't think it has the background, the literature behind it. But what's interesting, so.
Is it a foreign film?
I don't think it's foreign, no.
Okay. Like Ip Man is in Cantonese or something.
Yeah. The tagline for Triple Threat,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what clued me in that it's not a real serious movie. It's just a fun action movie. The tagline for Triple Threat, biggest, baddest, killingest. Killingest. And what's interesting about both of these movies, they're both from a studio that I've never dealt with.
Okay.
It's called Wellgo USA. I've seen ads on TV for Triple Threat all over the place.
Okay.
So last week I Googled it or looked it up on my little resource that I have for finding
computer
studios,
machine.
My computer machine. The interwebs. Thank you, Doran. And it's from this movie, it's from the studio Wellgo USA, which I didn't really think anything about it. But then when I watched the Master Z Man Legacy trailer, I noticed it. Wait a minute. That's the same studio. So I want to tell you, I've reached out to the studio. I want to make friends with them.
Okay.
And if I can get Ip Man Legacy in Penn Cinema, I'm telling you right now, I'm making that commitment, I will.
Okay.
And by the way, just to circle back on a previous promise that I made on Facebook to David, not you, a different David.
Okay.
I did reach out
to... Are you David cheating on me?
I did reach out to... who were the bastards that made Roma?
Netflix.
I reached out to Netflix, and I'm not having any luck getting an answer there.
Okay.
But I'm going to continue to pursue that because I need to make friends with them before they release The Irishman.
Oh, okay.
But I did reach out to Wellgo USA, and if I can get Master Z in Penn Cinema, I will.
Awesome.
I'm psyched.
I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Everybody wants to know about Captain Marvel. I hope you've stuck around because we're about to get into it. Spoilers from this part forward. I'm not holding back anything. I want to dip into this. I don't want none of this. I liked it from you, Penn. I want to talk about it.
All right. I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm 100% on board. Now,
okay.
I just want to tell you something.
All right.
This is true.
Okay.
I'm getting real with you for a minute.
Okay.
Getting personal.
Can you get jiggy with it?
I saw this movie, as you know, a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw it again.
Okay.
A couple nights ago.
Uh-huh.
And all weekend long, every time I thought about doing this podcast, I got so excited.
Okay, good.
Because I was like, I can't wait to talk about this movie.
Okay. All right. So, did you like Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I mean, I think as usual, I'm gonna guess. I'm waiting for your reply, but I'm gonna guess that I loved it, and I'm gonna guess that you know maybe you're. I probably liked it more than you because as I'm an easy critic, you know, so I'm easily amused. I'm easily contented with information. You know, if you're cat wants to barf up a tesseract, then, you know, hey man, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need to know, you know, if there's any inconsistencies or, you know, problems. So I loved it. I was completely satisfied. And the thing, there's so much I liked about it, but one of the things, maybe this is where I'll start, is I did not think once about Samuel Jackson being de-aged until after. Like later that day when I was thinking about the movie, I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Like it was so good that I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So his very first scene, it was the only time that I thought about it. And not because I was like, oh, he looks weird. It was more like,
whoa.
This everything's new.
Yeah.
From now, this is cinema just changed.
Yeah.
You know, like when you saw, okay, so when you saw Avatar in 3D, that was one of those cinema just changed moments.
Right.
This right here, I was like, this is the defining moment where they got it so right that now this will always be a thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to revitalize actors that age out of roles if they do it right.
Paging Johnny Depp.
Paging Johnny Depp. I mean, I just wish they would have had this before Solo. What?
What?
What? I agree. I, as far as what I thought of this movie, I really liked it a lot. I mean, I don't think it's the best Marvel movie by any means, but I definitely don't. It's more like top middle for me.
Yeah.
It's better than some of the ones that I came out thinking that I really liked. Like I enjoy Ant-Man a lot. And I think I like this movie a little bit more than Ant-Man.
Yeah.
This is the first Marvel movie. Of all the Marvel movies, where the plot legitimately surprised me.
Mm.
I have never had that happen.
What turn surprised you?
The Skrulls.
Mm.
Because Skrulls are always the bad guys. Always.
Not anymore.
Always the bad guys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe they will, but like there was a whole theory about like what's coming after Endgame,
yeah.
Right? And the biggest, most prevalent theory is what's called Secret War, which is where they discover someone dies, presumably during Endgame, and they find out that that superhero is a Skrull. And then it's like, which heroes are Skrulls, which aren't? It's called Secret Invasion. That's what it's called. And it's like, who's a Skrull, who's not?
You just blew my mind a little bit.
That's an amazing story. I mean, but I don't think they'll go that way now that they made the Skrulls refugees.
Yeah.
I mean, they could, but it. That's why I would have never expected them to go that way. And
I loved that plot.
It was so good.
I loved that plot line. The really brought some humanity to the movie.
Yeah.
I felt like some of the acting and when he was reunited, that scene where they were reunited, that was a little like the where the kid shows her he had the high score and like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, the plot line in general I loved.
Ben Mendelsohn?
Yeah, he was amazing.
Ben Mendelsohn, so great in this. He was funny. I loved that his character was just like, I would have expected them to capture Carol and kind of like torture her a little bit or try and forcefully convince her. But he just shows up and he's like, hey, yo, like, why don't you just listen to me for a minute?
Yeah.
Like,
that scene when they're in Rambo's house was like brilliant.
Rambo's house, yeah.
Isn't that her name?
I get it is, yeah, it but is. I just thought
you
Stallone.
Pictured Stallone. Yeah. Stallone was upstairs sharpening his knife.
Yeah. Yeah. I when they're all waiting around for the CD to load, what's going on?
Brilliant. And their facial the acting was just perfect.
It was so good. I felt a lot of the jokes, especially after that twist, a lot of the jokes were just great.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson was funny, I think I've gotten so used to seeing him in a badass role that you just don't let him be funny anymore.
Right.
Other than, I guess, the Hitman's Bodyguard. But even that, he was still a badass.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was great to see him just kind of semi an average Joe and not.
That first scene where he approaches her at the payphone. That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole scene where she lands in Blockbuster, you got the True Lies poster, you got the Right Stuff VHS box, the security guard ends up at Radio Shack. There's like all these 90s jokes.
Well, a part of that, this is a fish out of water movie.
Yeah.
Essentially. But it's not your typical fish out of water where like, what is this thing? How do you drive it?
Right.
You know, she was smart. Intelligent, knew what she wanted, and was almost like, well, she was definitely mocking everyone else.
Right.
Instead of being, like, she was still the fish out of water, but it wasn't like, I don't understand your humor,
She wasn't scared.
Yeah. And, yeah, I really enjoyed a lot of things about this movie. Anything else you want to talk about that you super enjoyed about this
movie? Well, you sound like you have something. Well, I wanted to ask you a question because I had a customer ask me a question.
Okay.
He comes up to me and he shows me his cell phone and he has a picture of Kevin Smith on it.
Okay.
A tweet, apparently. Uh-huh. A tweet or something. And Kevin Smith is saying that in this movie they referenced him.
Yes.
Where was that?
Stan Lee.
Oh, the Rugrats.
Is it Mallrats?
The Mallrats,
He's reading the Mallrats.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so if our guy's listening, there's your answer.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And apparently people are upset that like breaks Stan Lee continuity or something. I don't really care.
Why?
Whatever.
Why does it break Stan Lee continuity?
Well, I didn't really look into it because I was like, whatever, I don't care. This is dumb.
Yeah.
It's something about him because he's reading the script, so he must be Stan Lee. The real Stan Lee, who was actually in Mallrats, and Stan Lee is supposed to be a watcher in the Marvel Universe,
right?
Like an alien. And so I don't know, whatever. It's not important. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
But I thought that was interesting, Kevin Smith's reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it was neat.
Yeah. You saw this with a group of people. Were they fanning over stuff?
Yes.
Okay. One of the coolest things, two amazing fan moments. One, the opening scroll of Marvel with just Stan Lee cameos was perfect.
Yeah.
What a great homage. Everyone was like, yeah, Stan, we miss you, like yelling and stuff in the theater. I thought that was – they couldn't have done a better way of doing that. And then the other moment that I was like, I got rallied up inside for was like at the very end when Fury has the whatever he's going to call the crew, and then he sees her name.
Yeah.
And he changes it to the Avengers Initiative, and yeah, the theme starts playing in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, and that's exactly right. I was excited, and that's what I was talking about a few minutes ago when we were saying, like, don't you think this movie, if anything, just primes Endgame? You know, of course, most people who saw this movie are excited for Endgame, mm-hmm, but I don't care how excited you are, watching Captain Marvel had to increase, even if it's just by one tick, you know, had to increase your excitement for
Absolutely.
Endgame.
Yeah. Absolutely. What was the Fury's eyeball? How do you feel about that revelation?
I mean, I love the end when Coulson says, was it burned out by a Kree that you wouldn't give it the secret? And he was like, I neither confirm nor deny. You know? I like that. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it because it's a freaking science fiction comic book movie, but those were awfully deep scars to come from a kitty cat.
Well, it's an alien.
It's a Flurkin.
Flurkin. I just love when it scratches him. He's like, it's just a right, scratch. And the guy's like, nope, in the background.
Yeah. No, I tell you what I enjoyed about that was just on a simple level, it was – because I didn't notice. Did you notice at the beginning of the movie, were you like, where's his eye patch?
Well, I mean, I knew that he didn't have his eye. I mean, he had both eyes.
Like, did you think to yourself, oh, that's interesting, he has two eyes?
No, because of the trailers. Because I'm trailer boy.
You're
so
trailer boy. I didn't notice it in the trailers.
Oh, really?
Right.
So you have one-eyed blindness.
Right. So I didn't notice it at the beginning of the movie. And then when he got scratched, I was like, oh, that's right, he's Fury. Where's his patch? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's cool, we got like a little origin thing going on. So yeah. No, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I thought it was a neat little.
Yeah.
I like, excuse me. I like pretty much every callback to characters that we've witnessed before. Like, I like that you see Ronan, the Inquisitor? What do they call them? Ronan. You see him doing his job that he then takes to the next level to be the bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
You see, I think his name's Korath, Jaiman Hunsu's character. That's just kind of cool that he's there, and he's kind of like still just a minion, leading a team. Anything like that, like any of the Coulson or any of that kind of stuff was cool. I really thought they did all of that fan service callback stuff without it being over the top dumb or anything like that.
Totally agree.
So, all right. Any other positive points you want to talk about? Because I think I have a couple parts.
Nitpicky. All right. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. I'm gonna throw a question that you gave me last week back at you.
Okay.
Right? Is it bad acting or bad writing for Carol Danvers?
I don't follow. Wait, you didn't like Brie Larson's performance? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying sometimes she was great, and other times you were like, I have a picture I'm going to show you, and it says, who can emote better, Brie Larson or an actual slice of Brie?
That's just mean. Okay, so if your question is bad acting or bad writing, it's got to be bad writing
because
she's
talented. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I will say that not only do I not share your concern or your meme, by the way, I will say that twice during the movie I teared up.
Okay.
I felt moved by the performances. And I will say it was her friend Rambo that really kind of got to me.
Yeah.
You know, where she was like, I forget what Danvers said, something about like, was that hard? And she was like, was that hard? No, that wasn't hard. What's hard is, and then she launches into this little monologue, mm-hmm, and you're like getting a little fired up.
Yeah.
And then I also felt like you could really feel the struggle with Danvers when she, I mean, this is a character who has no idea who she is, you know, and now who she thinks she knows is it's all wrong. Like everything's upside down. You know what I mean? It reminds me of the sort of archetypal moment where you realize your parents don't have all the answers. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, my dad's a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's an awful time. And she, you know, took that to a cinematic level. I thought her acting was fine. I wouldn't have signed on to that meme.
I feel like when most of the time, 95% of the time, she was great. But there were a few moments where I think where she's trying to act overly tough that I just wasn't buying it. And here's a contrast that I have. Gal Gadot is great in what she does. But for whatever reason, she, even though she's not the buffest woman in the world or whatever, she gives off this really strong sense of power. And maybe that's because she was a soldier and she has that, like, she knows how to carry herself that way. Mm. But, like, I see her and I think power, she's physically powerful. I see Brie Larson and I've seen the videos of her pushing cars and stuff. So she is literally physically powerful.
But she doesn't
put that impression in my head.
That's some sexist shit.
What?
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Robert Downey Jr. If you can buy him as Iron Man.
Iron Man's not strong.
What, because he's got a suit?
He's got the suit.
She's got those golden cuffs. She's got the flamethrowers from her hands, whatever you call those things.
She just didn't seem as imposing to me. I guess it was the face she was giving. And on Late Night, she was like, I had to learn how to give this strong face. And I was like, why? Because Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, she was scary, like angry, scary face. Like, just throw that thing on.
I loved when the, I guess it would have been a Skrull screamed at her and she just screamed back. But it was kind of a hysterical scream. And I thought it was great. I thought she did really great. I mean, I guess I hear you in terms of some of the toughness, some of the action sequences,
right.
You know, were a little bit questionable. But I, you know, I'm glad that you introduced this segment as nitpicky because I thought she did fine. Okay. I mean, if you want to talk about I hear you.
Yeah.
But I thought she, like, when she's running down the hall and then she goes in and gets her boots,
yeah.
Like that interaction with those guys was great.
Harking onto that, the fact that some of the Skrulls were more comic booky looking than others, I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
That they weren't all just people in green costumes.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, and is it me or was Coulson's de-aging much less impressive than Samuel L.'s?
No, definitely less impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're almost kind of like, you can clearly do this. so do it.
Really, spend the money on the star.
Yeah, I guess.
Spend less
so.
Money on the co-star.
Right. Right.
Going back to the Danvers Brie Larson question, mm-hmm. Now that you bring it up, I remember when she is standing by the wing of the airplane greeting her friend who she hasn't seen in 6 years, mm-hmm. and the little girl comes running out and says, Auntie Carol. I felt like that was the weakest part of that scene. Ended up being brilliant, but that introduction to that scene was the weakest part of the whole movie in my book.
Yeah.
But her interaction, on the other hand, with the security guard in the car,
yeah,
like that was brilliant.
Yeah, well, she does cocky really well.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I don't want to come down too harsh on it, but it just something I picked up on. It's like because I remember the trailers, her vocal inflection did not match what they were showing us. In the movie, when you hear those lines, they match the scene, and they're fine. But I guess it just put in my head.
Vocal inflections.
Look, when you become a critique like me.
A big time critique.
I don't know if you know, but I have a podcast.
Is that French?
Critique, yeah, with Q-U-E.
I can't wait to see her with the gang.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Are they going to give her a big part, or is it going to be better than a cameo? Or
okay, so I think she's going to be like the Deus Ex Machina of Endgame, but
I don't get that reference.
It means God of the Machine. It's a Latin term for plays. It means when something crazy. Usually, they would have to use a machine on the stage to make whatever fantastical thing to solve whatever the problem is in the play, like bolt of lightning or.
And what did you call it?
It's called Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina.
God of the Machine.
Yeah, all right,
it's
man.
It's a literary term.
Good stuff.
There you go.
That is,
the more you know.
This is turning into some kind of after-school special.
So, I think she's going to be the heavy hitter that kind of changes everything.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that. Here's a theory I heard today, and I love it. I love it. So, I don't know if you're familiar with what the Russo brothers said about Spider-Man's death scene in Infinity War. Everyone else, they start to disappear, and whoosh, they're gone. Right. Spider-Man is like, there's something wrong, and he starts walking towards Tony Stark, and he falls over. Tony Stark's got him in his hand. He's like, I don't want to go, and he slowly fades away. People were like, why does Spider-Man have more of a death scene than everyone else? The Russo brothers explained, they said there's a reason for this, and the reason is Spider-Man is more powerful than all the others because of his powerful energy or whatever.
Venom.
Yeah, this is Venom. Because of that, he's able to fight off the snap a little bit. Now, in the stinger, when Carol comes to Earth, she looks a little ragged. I just thought in my head, she's been flying around the galaxy for so long.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to look ragged.
Yeah. I mean,
come on. The theory that was proposed that I heard this morning was she was supposed to be snapped away, and she's fighting
it. Fought it off.
And she's not going to be the ultimate weapon to cure everything. She's going to be great powerful, but she's going to be a little bit nerfed because she's continuing to fight off.
Nerfed.
Yeah.
Is that Latin too? That,
yeah, it is. She's continuing to fight the snap the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like a race to solve this problem before she's like their big power weapon is gone. And as a result that they could go off of that is after everything's solved, they can make her more relatable power level wise because they can say she, you know, expended her power doing that.
Wow. So, that's
I think that would be really cool. A way of making her less of like the Superman, but all still the Superman of the world.
This makes me go back to my comment about Avengers. Like, just like this whole movie, just
yeah,
it's a feeder. I don't know what the right word is. It just gets me so excited for Endgame.
Yeah, yeah. So Star Wars is going to be movie of the year, huh? Oh, you're checking your notes?
I'm not sure. Is that what we said? I forget. All of a sudden, I'm a little hazy on the details of that wager. Which side were you on?
That's how you get. Oh, man. Okay. Well, we're more than on board from
100%.
Captain Marvel. Yeah,
yes. 100%. Loved it.
Go see it. If you haven't gone to see it, and apparently it killed it this weekend.
Yes.
Like, go see it and let it kill again for this next weekend. So, and I enjoyed it in IMAX. Did you watch it in IMAX yet?
I watch it in both.
Okay.
Yep. And
preference? Because you're the type, you'll tell me if it's not worth it in IMAX.
No, I think it's worth it in IMAX.
Okay.
I do.
I have a quick side question about that. Is it darker in IMAX than it is?
You mean the room?
The contrast.
No.
It's not brighter in the...
No.
Okay, because in the beginning, me and some of my friends were like, was it like dark? Like you couldn't see some of the facial expressions.
No.
Okay, so that's just the way the movie's made. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so moving on, a couple listener notes here you have for us, Penn. What's up?
Well, I want to give a nice shout out to my man, John G., who he sent us a pretty – did you read the email?
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting – Now, it's funny because we're sitting here getting all nervous about Star Wars. And here's the thing. I think in December, we're going to be...
What about Avengers?
Right. Yes. What was that movie that came out in April? Had a bunch of... I forget. Yeah. Right? And but he made a really interesting point, which we want to share with the rest of the with the listeners. He compared the franchises, and he comes out on the side of Star Wars. I'm not saying that he's placing any bets or anything, but he certainly sort of made the case.
Right.
And I'm going to summarize it really just briefly. And what he basically was saying was that your arguments last week, you spelled out in black and white with box office numbers how Avengers was tracking better and doing better and on pace to that Avengers Endgame would do better than Episode 9. And what John pointed out was really interesting was how the second of a trilogy is always the weakest link. Mm-hmm. And then he also made some other interesting points about the relationship between the spinoffs and Episode 7 and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Right.
And I just thought his commentary was really interesting. So I think the question not only of Avengers on its own, but more importantly, the points that John was making was Episode 9 really, as the third of a trilogy, you know, brings with it a special, a little extra juice, you know, so to speak. And he also went back and looked at Episodes 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. And he was making the argument that Episode 6, I think, was the one that he said was, in his opinion, was his favorite. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on that. Sorry, John. But just looking at that trilogy and which ones of those three made the most money. So in other words, if Episode 6 made the most or made more than Episode 4 and Episode 9 would make more than Episode 7, you know, then if those numbers play out and you track everything and put it all together, then he was saying it's possible that Star Wars would beat Avengers.
Right.
Did that make sense to you? Did I explain it?
No, I got it. I mean, I think even it works between like 1 and 3. I think 3 was – I could be wrong, but I remember liking 3 a lot more than I liked 2 for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe definitely more than one.
Yeah.
Because, we all
know. To me, like 1, 2, and 3 are irrelevant to any conversations. Can I just put that out there?
Well, do you think they should be on Netflix? Is that what you're
saying? They're going to be on Disney's streaming service any minute now.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of comments. And here's the thing. I felt like we angered the Star Wars nerds, which I consider myself one. But, like, the Star Wars fans were out to contradict me hard this week on
as
all
well
of
they should.
Yeah, they were like, it's like, where are my Marvel fanboys at? And they were
crickets.
They were too busy defending Captain Marvel from those guys that were attacking it. But people got there were two big hitters we had comment wise. We had that was that, and then our Netflix conversation, Spielberg extravaganza thing. People are all over the board on that.
That touched a nerve.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, I love how personal people get.
Yeah.
Like, they take it really personal.
Well, me and Spielberg are tight, you know,
right.
So anything you say against him.
Right. Yeah. And then my friend, the guy that I mentioned earlier, Dave, who I used to lovingly call Pirate Dave, we can talk about that on another episode. He, you know, was pointing out Spielberg's interest in the ill-fated I forget the name of it, but it was like a movie studio that was going to release movies at home for like $500.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 2016. And he came out in favor of it early on. And then every other filmmaker in Hollywood came out against it. Mm-hmm. And then the thing fell apart.
Right.
But some of the people who were, you know, defending Roma were coming back and saying, you know, or essentially trying to, you know, argue with Spielberg, were essentially saying, hey, you were in favor of it way back when.
Right. Somebody was paying him
right. To
be in favor of it way
it's
back then.
It's all about money.
Yeah.
And all of these guys, Netflix pockets are so deep, right, that they are essentially trying to buy their way into, you know, the theatrical business to support a totally different agenda.
Right.
You know, and to me, the movie experience is a sacred one and a special one, and it involves a shared experience, you know, with an audience. And I resent them for trying to buy their way into it. Bastards.
Send your messages to podcasts at pencinema.com. So any other listener feedback you want to get into here?
Well... Funny you would ask. Shout out to all the Penn Cinema staff.
Oh, say what?
Penn Cinema Lititz, Huntington Valley, Wilmington. The staff are starting to get wind of this podcast.
Oh, nice.
And everyone's loving it. And
great.
We have some staff.
Okay.
I don't want to name names because they're, you know, we haven't firmed anything up, but we got some kids that want to come on here and say what's up.
Crackle and pop.
So, yeah, I think that would be really fun. We're going to try to get some kids, some staff to come on and maybe tell some of their funniest war stories. And, you know, like I have some favorite questions I like to ask kids when we're hanging around waiting for a set to finish. So, like, for example, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done while you're working? Because I'll certainly share. I mean, I've done really dumb things. Just last week, I did something really dumb. You know, and so it's always fun to tell those stories. And then it's also fun. What's the dumbest thing you ever saw a customer do? It's the funniest thing you ever saw a customer do. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun to work in a movie theater, and you get some funny stories, and I think it'd be fun. We should do an episode here and get some staff on board and let them tell some stories.
I'm super on board. I just want to add a little comment for the staff. If you ever see me strolling through here with a lady, feel free to, like, come talk me up or ask for my autograph or anything. Anything. Oh, David, what can we do for you?
So it'd be great if, staff, what we want you to do when you see David walking through the lobby with a lady is we want you to, like, huddle up where they can hear you. And then, like, in a stage whisper, we all know what a stage whisper is, say, like, isn't that David Moulton?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Oh, who's the girl with David Moulton?
So lucky. Well, no, that's super cool. Thanks for listening, guys. So we got one more section here.
Yep.
Let's talk about what we're watching, what we're reading. What's going on in your world outside of the theater?
Well, I have – you want me to
go ahead.
Say – yeah, because I have confession.
Okay.
I think a couple weeks ago I told you that I wasn't watching The Umbrella Academy because I was too cool for it.
If I recall, you were like – I tuned out during this thing and I was like, wait, that was within the first 10 minutes.
I think in retrospect, it's even worse.
Oh, no.
I think
the
moment when I tuned out was actually like – seriously, like 3 minutes into it, like 3 or 4 minutes into it. And in hindsight, I can tell that what my problem was that I hadn't seen any interesting characters that I felt like I wanted to watch.
In 3 minutes.
Yes, that's right, David. In 3 minutes. I gave you 3 of my minutes, and by God, I want an interesting character. I don't just have endless minutes. You know what I mean? I only have so many minutes. And I gave three of them. So anyway, I tell you, so you mentioned this Umbrella Academy.
Uh-huh.
And then I go home and watch 3 minutes of it, and I'm not into it. Come back and tell you so. And then it's like everybody I meet, everybody I'm talking to is like, hey, are you in Umbrella Academy? Did you watch Umbrella Academy? Like, oh, yeah, no, I couldn't sleep. I'm tired because I was up all night watching Umbrella Academy. Right? So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I tune it in, and I stick with it a little bit longer. And now I'm obsessed. I can't say, like, every free minute that I have, I'm still watching Umbrella Academy. So
you haven't gotten through it yet?
No, but I'm moving right through.
Okay, awesome.
And I am loving it. And I can't wait. I just can't wait for the next chance when I can watch it. And when I'm done, I'm going to start over again and watch it again.
Okay, awesome. We're going to have to talk about it once you're finished because I don't want to spoil anything.
Don't spoil it for me.
Awesome.
And if anybody hears me talking about this, don't spoil it for me. Another show that I told you I was interested in but I hadn't seen it yet and now I've watched it is Losers.
Okay.
Netflix documentaries, or maybe it was Prime. I think it was Netflix. Some of them are cool, some of them are not, but it's an interesting – it's a documentary type of series.
Right.
And each episode is about a different athlete or team and who experienced some kind of epic failure. And it's not quite as simple as saying, oh, what they learned, although that kind of is the gist of it. But it's also like how this epic failure turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to them and that type of stuff. Some of the episodes are fascinating. Some of them are boring. So I'll just tell you that. The one about the soccer players and the one about the boxer are riveting, unbelievable stories. And then the last thing I just wanted to mention. So Glass.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we really talked about this.
No.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
So that's why I know we didn't talk about it.
Well, I think we didn't talk about it because it kind of came and went before the podcast started.
Okay.
I think technically it was still here when we started the podcast,
right.
But it had already opened. So I watched it twice because
okay.
I'm a big M. Night fan and I love that whole storyline and Split and everything. And I just want to point out that there's a magazine in that story where they're talking about the new skyscraper being built, which is where they're going to have this ultimate epic showdown so that the entire world can see our powers. And it's been noted online that on the cover of that magazine says a real marvel. It's an architectural magazine, and the reference is that the building is a magnificent marvel because it's like the highest building ever.
Okay.
But it's really obvious to everybody that that's a shout out to Marvel, right? Because Marvel and DC played really well letting this whole sort of thing play out, letting M. Night, you know, take these two different properties and merge them into one, you know, massive movie, which was pretty successful. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but it was a very successful movie. What I want to point out about this, and what I wasn't able to find online, I'm not saying nobody else noticed, but I'm just saying I didn't notice it in any of the reviews, is that the date on that magazine says a real Marvel arrives March 7th, opening day
of Captain Marvel. Whoa.
What?
Okay. Wow. So now all I'm saying is we have to rewatch this movie and look for the Avatar clues.
All right.
That's,
yeah.
I mean,
okay.
If they're giving us, if they're being prophetic about our movies,
yeah,
it's time to find out what's up with
Avatar. Avatar. Unfortunately, Avatar is coming from Fox, which is like alone on an island. But it's alone on an island that was just bought by
just
Disney.
Bought by Disney. Yeah.
Disney's, I guess, building the bridge to the island.
That is really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was super cool.
And you haven't seen anyone else like talking about this?
I saw a conversation about the fact that the magazine referenced a real Marvel that was, everybody presumed, a nod to Marvel.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anybody else comment on the fact that it was March 7th.
March 7th.
Now, technically, if you go online and type in when does Captain Marvel open, it says March 8th.
But yeah, but the...
But everybody in the business knows that it opened on Thursday night, March 7th.
Right.
So I wonder if that... I don't know. I'm just saying.
Interesting. Interesting.
What are you watching?
Okay, dude. Let me tell you. So I leave for Seattle in 2 days, right? And I'm gone for a while. Not that long. Like 4 days. But it's a while for me.
He acted like it's going to be 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days. Alone in the wilderness.
My world has been so busy. I didn't watch a single show or movie all week. I did finish... reading The Siege of Stone by Terry Goodkind, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And but other than that, I took in almost nothing but YouTube, because it was like YouTube was the 10 to 15 minute span that that I had in my head before I like got tired, other than Captain Marvel. And I was like, and even that, I was like trying to find another time that I could go see it so I could do something else on Thursday night, because that was my bond. That's our bond day, the 7th. And yeah, so I am definitely dry on entertainment this week, and I'm going to stuff in so much stuff as soon as I get on that plane.
You know what I've been reading?
Oh, boy.
This is good. You're going to like this.
Yeah.
I found my Calvin and Hobbes treasury book that I just, for whatever reason, hadn't located. So that's sitting in the living room. And
you're churning through it.
Yeah, I'm churning through it, turning Kayla onto it.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're bringing Calvin and Hobbes back into our daily routine.
That's super awesome. I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about. What are you reading? What are you watching next week when I come back from vacation? So
next week, we got a little turn.
Okay.
Get your tissues out.
Get your tissues out.
Yep. 5 feet apart.
Right.
You familiar with this one?
I am familiar with this one.
Yeah.
I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
What?
It looks good. I hope it's as
good.
Why
do you say that?
No, because I want it to be good.
But that implies some doubt that it's not going to be good.
No, I'm just saying, like, The Fault in Our Stars was great. Yeah. And this has all that feeling to it. And I just want it to live up. It's not a John Green book, right?
Right.
No, but I still want to, I just...
You know how I know it's not a John Green book?
How?
Because every trailer does not start off with a massive typo that says, John Green, based on the John Green book.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I want it to be good. I don't want to, I'm going in with high hopes.
Okay.
So, I know you're like, that makes
spoken
it sound like
a nervous.
I'm so nervous about this, Ben. I can't hold it in. What are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, it's not really my type of movie, but right. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a sleeper.
Is it because you don't have emotions? And
you're... I have a hole where my heart should be.
What is that, the Tin Man, I guess?
Yeah, basically.
I cry in lots of movies, and I'm sure that this is going to be a tearjerker. Yeah. I'm excited for it. The reason why I'm most excited for it is because Kayla's excited for it.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to watching it, and I think it's going to be sleeper. I mean, obviously, Captain Marvel will still be the number one movie.
Right.
But I'm going to be watching 5 Feet Apart closely to see if it beats How to Train Your Dragon for the number two spot. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and we will have 5 Feet Apart at all three Penn Cinema locations.
Sweet. Sweet. Cool. All right. Well, anything else we need to wrap up here before we get going?
I don't think so.
Cool. Well, if you want to get in touch with the show, and we want you to get in touch with the show, let us know that you finished and got to the end. What did you think of Captain Marvel? What did you think of 5 Feet Apart? What did you think of saying hi to me when I walk in with a lady?
Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies.
You what was that meme that was going around for you?
Oh, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
So go ahead and email us at podcast@penncinema.com. That'll hit both of us. We'll respond. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.